Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I forgot to turn this on. You remember that we are going through these books. We're trying to preach or teach what our Lord did on that road to Emmaus. And it says, I remind you what he said. He says, all things must be fulfilled, written in the law of Moses. That's the five book. And then the prophets and the Psalms. It's like those five loaves and two fish. This is what he feeds us on. And the next book is Ecclesiastes. The word Ecclesiastes, you'll see at the title, means preacher. Verse 1 begins, the words of the preacher. You notice preacher is capitalized. That's never so in God's word unless it applies to Christ. There's no titles in front of any man's name. You won't find prophet in front of the man's name, especially capitalized, the prophet or apostle. It's only capitalized when it applies to Christ. Hebrews 3, he is the apostle, capital A, and high priest, capital H, capital P. These are not the words of Solomon, but rather the words of Christ. Notice preacher is capitalized and king is not. Solomon was a preacher first and then king. And you notice the emphasis where our Lord puts the emphasis, which position or which office, which man is more important. The preacher or the president of the United States? The preacher. That's what God's word said. The world is foolishness. And believe me, I know. The two occupations that are the most corrupt and deceitful today is preacher and lawyer. And they're the cause of all the ills of our society. They really are. But now, God has not left himself without a true witness. And we need a preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? Now, that's what God said. The world calls it foolishness. And the longer it goes, in these last days, it's just going to be done away with. Okay. But not in God's purpose. Okay. The preacher. Preaching. What does he preach? God's word. The gospel. Paul says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So this book is God's word through a preacher. Preacher. A king. Christ is both. Preacher, king. The word of God through, and he's called the son of David, verse 1. Son of David. King in Jerusalem. What a description of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to preach. He was born king. He was the son of David, declared to be the son with power, son of God, and king of the Jews. All right, Ecclesiastes, this whole book, most of you have read it. We've gone through it together. Is the book of life. From chapter 1 through chapter 12, it gives us the meaning of life. The whole book is all that we go through in this life. All that we accumulate, okay? Everything that we do, all that is around us, everything in this world, it tells it briefly in this book. And look at verse 2. Vanity of vanities. It begins that way. It begins that way. Vanity of vanity. And so does our life here on this earth. Vanity. We come forth from the womb speaking lies, believing lies. The God of this world, tempts the flesh and people with lies, telling us that this is all there is, and this is happiness, and this is life. No, it's not. This book begins with vanity of vanity. It speaks of the vanity of this life. Vanity means unsatisfactory. It means unfulfilling. Men, women, young people try to accumulate, get things to fulfill them, to fill up this need, they think, their wants, their desires for happiness and for joy and for peace and for security and for contentment. And they think the things of this world are going to give them that. No way. It's vanity. Why? Because you lose it all. Then what? And no matter what it is, people, things, we lose it all. Peter said in his letter, he said, seeing, 2 Peter, the last chapter, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons we ought to be? Meaning, what should we really be looking into? Now, here's what this book says about life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Right? Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this book is all about Jesus Christ. The vanity of this world. Wisdom, Solomon writes and speaks of wisdom 25 times, I believe it is. I wrote it down somewhere. 25 times. And in the Proverbs, how many times in the Proverbs? Wisdom. And you know, those of you who know the Son, see, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom God sent to give us life. Life that doesn't end. Life more abundant. It's not vanity. No, it's not vanity at all. It's life. Satisfying. Everything in his life. Solomon had everything a man or a woman or a young person thinks that they need and want. He had everything that a human being wants, that he thinks he needs, she needs to make them happy. Everything that money can buy. And money can't buy happiness. No, no. But he said in verse 8, look at verse 8, all things are full of labor, man can't utter it, but the eye is not satisfied with seeing, the ear filled with hearing. In other words, you work all your life for things, and it's never enough. It just won't fill. You know, you get hungry. We all get hungry and thirsty, and then this big table full of food, and you look, whoa, you know, you just eat it up until you say, oh, I'm satisfied. Whew, I'm full. I can't take in one more thing. I'm happy. How long does that last? It was out in the draft. Y'all know what that is. And then you're hungry all over again. And that's this world. And Solomon got his full feel of it. He thought, tried to fill himself up. He said, it won't fill. It won't fulfill. It won't. And Solomon searched for wisdom, the answer of wisdom. What is wisdom? Who is wisdom? Who knows? That's the title of this message. But first, let me say something to the young people here. I wish every one of them were here, but not. Chapter 5. Go over to chapter 5 with me. And old people. Oh, what's old? I don't know now. I don't know. Maybe 80, 90. But I still feel like I'll be 18 years old. Because my fleshly appetites have not changed. I still foolishly try to fulfill this flesh, and it just won't do it. When are we going to learn? Chapter 5, though, verse 18. Look at it, everybody, young and old. Behold, that which I've seen is good. It's comely for one to eat, to drink, to enjoy the good of all his labor. He taketh under the sun all the days of his life. This is what God gives. It's his portion. Every man to whom God hath given riches and wealth and given power to eat thereof, take his portion, rejoice in his life. This is the gift of God. God giveth us all things richly to enjoy. God made everything. Marriage. Nothing wrong with marriage. In fact, everything right with it in the Lord. You're going to have trouble in the flesh, especially if you don't know the Lord and they don't know the Lord and neither one of you know the Lord. You're going to have trouble in the flesh and you don't know if that marriage is going to last. But in the Lord now, it's good. Our Lord says it's not good man to be alone. Not good for a woman to be alone. So he made marriage. Marriage is a good thing. And the Lord. Having a home and children. You know what the first thing the Lord told the man and woman was? Multiply. Have children. Oh, children are... aren't they enjoyable? Grandchildren are better. But A blessing, but I can't imagine having a wayward, rebellious child. I didn't have to go through that. I can't imagine the heartache. But that's us with our Heavenly Father. Isn't he wonderful? But children and houses and lands and things and possessions. Nothing wrong with these things. Our Lord gives us these things, all things to enjoy. There's no evil in things. Our Lord created things. There's no evil in things. It's evil to not thank God for these things. It's evil not to acknowledge God in all these things. It's evil when you care more about these things than you do the one who gave them. It's evil. It's not evil to have possessions, but it's evil when they possess you. When you give yourselves to things. Ecclesiastes 11, go over there real quickly. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, and thy youth, let thy heart cheer thee. Chapter 12, verse 1. But remember now, right now, in thy youth. Remember now, right now, in the days of thy youth. For the evil days come not. Our Lord said, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his Sermon on the Mount, said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Because if you know Christ, if you have Christ, you have it all. You really do. If you have Christ, you know Christ. You know what? If you know Christ, you will enjoy things more than you would if you didn't have Him. If you see these things as a gift, that you don't deserve them, and He gives them to you anyway, bountifully, you'll appreciate, like that woman just wanted some crumbs from our Lord's table. You know, she thought, I don't deserve crumbs, but if you just give me some crumbs, you'd be so good to me. Our Lord never gives crumbs to his dogs, never. You don't either. I knew a man who took his dog. His wife had died, and his dog was all he had at home. His only companion. Every morning, you knew this man. He was down in the Victory Chapel. He took his dog to McDonald's every morning, and he got him a Big Mac. And he got his dog a Big Mac every morning. Our Lord doesn't give crumbs. Mm-mm. But when you see how undeserving you are, if you're the prodigal son, if you're that wayward child, and the Lord brings you back, I don't deserve anything but wrath. But, oh my, you've been so good. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. You children, y'all are getting to be young adults. But I'm a little child. That if the Lord allows you to grow up and be married and have children, you're going to look back and you're going to curse yourself for being so unthankful and ungrateful to your parents. And such a hardship. Right? Every one of these parents admit that. The grief I put my parents through. Unimaginable. And that's us with our Heavenly Father. Some of you went 40 or 50 years before you knew the Lord. That was in His purpose. But still, man, that's a long time to thumb your nose at God in it. And Him not. That's it. Oh, He's so merciful. So, remember now, our Lord said, seek ye first. And if you know Christ, you'll enjoy these things more, seeing them as a gift. And you'll wisely use them. He won't abuse them. And you'll not want so much. Shouldn't. And you'll realize what you really need. Having food and raiment, you'll be more content. If you have Christ, if you lose everything, you lose nothing. Paul said, I've suffered the loss of all things, but it was going out in the draft anyway. The Lord just took it away from me. Job said, the Lord gave it, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I'm getting ahead of myself. This is the answer. But Job said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. Our Lord said this, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? And what? Lose his soul. The soul is what man's trying to fulfill. Inner man is what man is trying to fulfill. And he can't do it with things. He only can do it with God. Man in the garden didn't have any of these things. He had food. He didn't even have raiment. He had food. And it wasn't to live on. He didn't live on that food. He lived on God. He was happy. She was happy. Had the Lord, had each other. They were happy. Didn't need anything. Didn't have any of these things. When the Son of God came to this earth, He's the blessed man. He's the happy man. He had none of these things. None of them. He didn't have a house. He was a homeless man. Was he? Was he homeless? Well, he had a home waiting. All right. He just left there for us people. Us, his people. Oh, man. So, what does it profit to gain the whole world? You really have gained anything. To live is to know Christ. To die is what? Gain. Then, oh, joy unspeakable. All right, here's the question running throughout this book. Look at chapter 6. Here's the question. It just jumped out at me. Who can tell us? All through here. Chapter 6, look at it. Verse 11. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? Who knoweth what's good for a man? Who can tell us? Chapter 8, verse, who's as a wise man that knows all this? Look at verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, his days be prolonged, surely I know it be well with them that fear God. Verse 13, not be well with the wicked. And down in verse 16, he said, when I apply my heart to wisdom, see the all that's done on the earth. Verse 17, beheld all the work. No man can find out the work that's done under heaven. And so he says, who can tell us? Is there anybody? All through this book he keeps, is there anyone can tell us the truth? Who really knows? Is there a wise man who can tell us the meaning of life? Is there a God? Is there life after this? What is life all about? Is there anyone? Who? Who? Remember? Remember? The story about the owl? The wise owl? Why is the owl wise? You ask him anything, he says, who? Any question? Who? Who? Okay, go with me to chapter 3. Go to chapter 3. Does anyone know what this is all about? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Robin Kelly, I may pretend to. Chapter 3. All right. And throughout chapter 3, he talks about God's purpose. You have it? I think she needs her oxygen. It's okay. Okay, she's okay. All right. Chapter 3 begins this way. You with me? You with me? Chapter 3. To everything there's a season and a time, every purpose under heaven. Everything, Scripture says God does everything on purpose. Are you with me? For something to have a purpose, it means there's got to be someone who made it. Are you with me? Okay? She's okay. For there to be a purpose, someone has to make that purpose, decree that purpose. If there's no purpose, then it's chaos. Things that just happen randomly. There's no rhyme or reason to anything. It's what will be, okay? But if there's purpose, there has to be a person who made that purpose. And the thing that opened my father's blind eyes and my mother at about the same time, Romans 8, that preacher, told that young free will Baptist preacher, he didn't know God, didn't know Christ, said, stand up and quote Romans 8:28. And he stood up. He said, for we know all things work together for good and them that love God. And he sat down. And that's religion for you, isn't it? That's all I think about. God loves us all and has a wonderful plan. It doesn't say plan. Plans can change. We make our plans that they're probably going to change. And he sat down. Barner said, you didn't quote all of it, son. Stand up. And he stood up. Now this time he's real nervous. My dad, 22, 3 years old. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And when he said that, Barnard screamed at the top of his lungs. Purpose. God does all things on purpose. When you find out who God is, you'll know the purpose of all things. There's no purpose to our existence unless we know God, unless we know Christ. It goes on to talk about the time to be born, time to die. Who does that? Who's the giver of life? How does life start? Time to die. Who takes life? What takes life? God said, Christ said, I kill. I make life. Time to kill. Time to weep. Time to laugh. Time to get. Time to lose. Time to rend. Time to love. Time to hate. Everything is a purpose. Well, who's doing all of this? Who knows? You may die very soon. I may die. You may have in you right now what is going the Lord sent to take your life. Yes, that's what makes what I'm saying right now the most important thing you'll ever hear. This really is a message of life or death. It really is. Young people died too. My best friend, 15 years old, I carried his dead body out of a room. And I was supposed to be with him at the time. I carried his dead body in my arm. Dead. Now what? All right, you live 70, 80, or 90 years, go like that. Now what? Anybody can tell us? Is this all on purpose? Who kills? Who makes alive? Who wounds? Who heals? Job. Now go to the book of Job. Long before Solomon, Moses said in Psalm 90, he said, we might live 70 years, we might live 80. He said, oh, that we were wise. He said, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. What's wisdom? Christ is wisdom. And long before Moses, Job, the book of Job 14, go there with me, Job 14. Long before Moses, Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And Job, all through this chapter, asks, if a man dies, will he live again? I want to read the whole chapter. Man, verse 1, is born of woman's few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and is gone. And verse 3, does God even think about such a one? How can God can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Sinners. The whole world full of sinners against God. And God's going to be done with it all someday. There's a judgment to face. That's what this book says. Days are determined. The number of our months, verse 5, are with the Lord. That's not fatalism. That's the truth. And he goes on to say, man dies, verse 10, and wastes away. Man gives up to go. Where is it? Who can tell us? Verse 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? Who can tell us? Well, Job, long before Christ came, said in chapter 19, I know this, my Redeemer liveth, and he's going to stand on this earth at the latter days. The giver of life, the sustainer of life, the giver of all things, the creator walked this creation, his word. Came down here to give life to dead sinners. Now, this is old-fashioned. This is what you hear every single Sunday, Wednesday, don't you? But this is the meaning of life. Amen. We're dead until we have life in Christ. Ephesians 1. Let's go over here. Who can tell us? And we keep quoting 1 John 5:20, don't we? Why? Because it's just so. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we might know the true God. Him that is true. We're in Him. This is the true God and eternal life. Ephesians 1. Did you turn there? Do you ever get tired of turning there? I don't. If the Lord gave me life through Ephesians 1 and 2 and 3. Romans 9. Ephesians 1. See, the one who made this world wrote this book. And this book's about Him. And He came to earth. Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Creator. The world was made by Him, the world knew Him not. But He said, His own know Him, because He reveals Himself to. And look at Ephesians 1, verse 9. Verse 9 says, He's made known unto us, not everyone, but us, the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. What is it? Verse 10. That in this dispensation of the fullness of time, when everything's done, when this world is wrapped up like a vesture and thrown away, when all these things be dissolved, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to gather together all His elect, all His people, in Christ, in one, in a great gathering. Verse 10. Gather together in one all things in Christ, in heaven and in earth, even in Him. To a new kingdom, a new heaven, and a new earth. And the former things won't even be remembered or come to mind. The story of the children of Israel in Egypt. The children of Israel in Egypt is the story of all God's people in this world. right there in the pit. Psalm 107, we're going to read that. You notice how many times I talk about the pit. Job 34, the pit. People were in a pit. They didn't know it. For a while they were enjoying it, but the Lord sent hard taskmasters. The Lord made them realize they were in bondage. The Lord made them realize, I'm in a pit. I went out. And the Lord came to take them out. He said, I'm come down to bring them out the pit, to bring them up into a land. The whole book's about that. Look at verse 18 of Ephesians 1. He says, oh, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in saints is, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of my power. You know what it takes for God to turn the eyes of a flesh and blood human being, it turned their eyes toward him and turned their eyes away from these things. You know what it takes? New birth. It takes power. It takes the power of God. New birth. 1 Corinthians 15, and I close with this. 1 Corinthians 15. The book of Ecclesiastes begins with vanity. It ends with vanity. And it ends in chapter 12 by saying, here's the conclusion. Fear God. Well, God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. And this chapter sums it all up, doesn't it? The gospel. Are you with me? We began with vanity, all right? I want you to look at this. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 16. If the dead don't rise and Christ is not raised, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. What we're doing is foolish. We need to be out there in the world. If that's all there is, we need to be out there getting it. If this is all there is to get, then we need to get it. Because it's that, you know, the dead don't enjoy this. That's what Solomon said. Let's get it. But the proverb says, with all your getting, get understanding, get wisdom. And look at verse 18. And they also which fell asleep in Christ are perished. Those that were believers in all their lives, they trusted the Lord, believed Christ, and believed God, and believed this book, believed God's word, and they died that way. Then they're just dead as a dog. That whole life was useless. Wasted. And the Lord says wisdom knows it's the opposite is true. That a life lived just for things is wasted. Read on. Read on. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now, I love the buts in the Bible, don't you? Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Yes, he is. He said in Revelation 1 for everybody to read, the beginning of Revelation, I'm alive. I was dead, but I'm alive. I live forever. I'm the first. I'm the last. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. You don't have me, you don't have life. I am life, he said. That's what he said. Look at verse 21. Now, by man came the resurrection of the dead. In Adam, all die. Here's the meaning of life. In Christ, alive. Made alive. Made alive. You don't accept life. You don't choose life. You don't decide to have life. You're made alive in Christ. You who were dead in trespasses and sin hath he quickened and put where? In him. Alive. He talks about order. Verse 23. Every man in his own order. It's going to be our time one of these days. Ecclesiastes 7. 7. Perfection. 1. Death is better than birth. A good name better than ornament. Death better than birth. Solomon, what do you mean by that? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ in me. Every man in his own order. It's going to come our time. Who decided that? Who purposed that? God did. And as your bounds are set, the number of your days with the Lord, you can't pass them. Can't pass them. You'll be glad you didn't. My dear old mom think, why can't I go? The world doesn't want to ever go. The world doesn't want to ever leave this place. Paul said, I have a desire to depart and what do what? Be with the Lord, which is far better. He said, to live is Christ, but to die is what? Gain. Stay here. Say, I don't understand. Well, if you put you in Christ in you, you will. You will. Verse 51, I'll show you a mystery. Scriptures talks about the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel. Good news. The world thinks death is the worst news you can ever hear. I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. A trumpet shall sound. Yes, it will. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. Got to get old. Got to die. Got to. If it goes 70 or 80 years. This mortal will put on immortality. When this mortal and this corruptible have put on incorruption, verse 54. Are you reading it with me? You just might shout at the end of it. This mortal will put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, death, the worst thing man thinks can happen, is swallowed up in victory. Christ came to give the light of the knowledge that brought immortality and life to light. Death is not death, it's life. Oh, death. You know what Henry Mahan said? Henry Sword said? Huh? Oh, death, where's thy victory? What Joe Park said? Sting of death is sin, you see. Strength of sin is the law. Well, who's going to deliver us from this? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. He gave us the victory over there. Read on, last verse, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in this right here, what we're doing. Why? For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. This is not a vain thing, Moses said to the people right before they went in to go in the promised land. This is life. This is vain. Everything. Name something. I'll tell you just how vanity it is. Right? Yeah. Who can tell us? The Son of God has come and given us an understanding. He said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe it? Oh, and I tell all of us, like young and old, seek the Lord. Well, he may be found. All right.